this morning. I did a dumb thing yesterday. What can I say? Just once in a while, I think everyone is entitled to a dumb thing. Yeah. So I decided that, I had a couple of big barrel feeders, and they're on winches, and you have to winch them down, and they hold a lot of weight. And I put corn in there and toasted soybeans and all kinds of stuff, and sunflower seeds to feed all the different critters. But when you fill them up, it's about roughly 350, 400 pounds a barrel. And so I'm not supposed to be doing that, but I thought, I don't know who to call. I need some help. And I just thought, I'm going to do it myself. Wrong. So I went out there and filled all those up. And, it's like, don't do that. But I did. And so you're grabbing those sacks out of the trailer and you turn it around and you pour them in those barrels. And then you got to get on that winch. And it's like, so all this therapy on your shoulder and everything. And then after I got through with that second winch, my arm's hanging like this. And my hip's hurting so bad I can hardly walk. And it's like, this used to not happen. And I get aggravated that it's happening now. But it's like, it really does. So after pouring all that feed in there and everything, and the winching is getting so hard to do, to turn that, and it just strains you and strains you. But then what happens? I did the Christian thing. See, I got mad. You do that. You're going in and you just, the more you work at, the madder you get. And I was just going at that thing, and you're not going to, I don't care how. And you're talking to a winch, an inanimate object, and you're just telling it what for. You're not going to beat me. And then cable kind of hung up in there, and it's not really having to come around with it. And I told it what for, I want you to know. I got it done, got everything back to the house, and then I realized I sat down and tried to get up in this, this burning pain through my left hip. And then I'm sitting there, and I got all dressed and everything, went over to the hospital, and I couldn't move my right arm. I had to drive with my left. And I thought, they told you this was going to happen. Why did you do this? And I remember the old Bill Cosby thing, when you say to a kid, why did you do that? And all I could say to myself was, I don't know. I don't know. And so anyway, here I am, and I brought some Tylenol. I'm going to take Tylenol when the service is over because my arm's hurting. And they told me, you keep doing this, we're going to have to get in there and replace your shoulder joint. And it's like, I don't know. Pardon? Call you to fill them? I will. I appreciate that. So that I don't have an arm still hanging on the winch out there. So we're looking today, after telling you all that, I just want you to know that you're receiving a message. Any message you get up here, every message you're receiving from an imperfect person who makes the same mistakes you do, commits, same kind of sins, and so the message that you get is from God. I'm only an instrument, and we always need to remember that. Don't ever place your pastor, no matter where you are. Don't place them up on a pedestal and give them room to fall. And don't let anybody put you there on a pedestal. Don't ever, don't believe your own press or anything. Just realize we all have feet of clay. And yet God uses us, and that's why I'm here. So you can see that God uses a person who has feet of clay, who's prone to everything that you are, to bring his words. And we're talking about the way, the truth, the life. We began this and didn't even get close to finishing. And I'll just do a little review and move on today. Just one verse has so much in it. It's such a powerful verse, John 14:6. And it just like, wow, So let me find this verse. Jesus told him this, that Thomas said, we have no idea where you're going, so how do we know the way? Good old doubting Thomas, questioning everything. And Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I hope you read before and after to get all this, because I don't like just pick, you know, for a message you don't have the time and have to pick a piece of it and then fill it out the best I can. But there's so much before and after that goes with this. But we talked before, and so if you weren't here, you're not going to miss anything, because, and he said, I am the way. And I've looked back at this through this week, and it's like, and thought about it more, and it's like, you know, Jesus is the way. And we talked before, we know that. So what is it saying? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So he's the way to heaven. And through Jesus Christ, and ask him in your heart, he stands at the door and knocks, and if you ask him into your heart and repent of your sins, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he's the way to heaven. But something I wanted that began to, you know, even from, you know, we talked about last week and how, but that's not the only way. He's not just the way to eternal life, he's the way to live. Jesus is the way to live. You know, I am the way to what? The way to heaven, and I'm the way to live, and I'm the way to be happy, and I'm the way to have joy. I'm the way. I'm the only way. And it's something going to work on me, you know, this week with this thing, and we'll move on to the next steps, but he's the truth. He laid the truth to life. We'll get to the truth in a moment, but he's the way, okay? So, you know, we don't want to bore to death, you know, we're covering old ground, but, okay, he's the way to eternal life, and he's the way to live. But it began to bother me. It's like, Tony, what is the problem here? Because so many people, they say they're Christians, and they'll go to church, and they say they've asked Jesus in their heart. Okay, so they follow Jesus, who's the way to heaven. But get this, Jesus is not here physically; he's here in you and me. And so our lives can't be perfect, but they must be consistent as Christians, bearing fruit, because the other people that need to see Jesus, the only way they're going to see him is through you and me. And our attitudes and our expressions, our words, our giving, our sharing, our calmness, so forth and so forth. And all of a sudden it's like, and I'm the way for other people to come to heaven through me living in you. And it's like, what a responsibility. God, and I did. I say to him, I can't live up to this. And it's like, you must. And the only way you're going to be able to do this, any of us, going back to another text that we talked about not long ago, he said, all you that are burdened and heavy laden, right? Come to me, and I'll give you rest. Take what? Take my yoke upon you. He said, this ties together. You come into my yoke. You set aside all your personal agenda, your stuff, yourself, and you surrender to me, and you take that yoke, and you and I together, when you submit to me, then you give me something to work with. Me, I'm the way. I'm the only way it's going to work, not just to heaven, but I'm the way for people to come to Christ through your life. You can't be good enough to draw anybody but me, Christ in me, my hope of glory. You hear that a lot here, but that's what it's all about. And Jesus said, I'm the truth, I'm the way, and I'm the only way that people are going, me and you, and if I possess you, enough of me will shine through you, through this being the salt and the light, for people to see that and come to me. Why aren't more people Christians? The only answer I have to that is because so many who say they're Christians aren't living like Christians. Not even trying. You know, and then they got right here this day, they'll be flocking to churches, and then they'll be going out and sitting all clumped together under the bridges. But okay, so you're going to go to church, and you're going to do all the, sing all the music, and oh man, you know, but then I worry, I'm just worrying. I'm not trying to condemn anybody out there. It's just that, you know what God said about this? He said, these people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Now I'm the way, and the way has got to be a total way, a total dedication, a total commitment to Christ. He's, you know, I'm the way to heaven. I'm the way to live. And I thought, so what does that mean? Now, that means I'm the way out of your depression. I'm the way out of your anxiety. I'm the way out of your panic attacks. I'm the way. Yes, yes, God will use doctors and he'll use medication, but Jesus is the way. He's the one that's going to be the final fix. He's the great physician. He's the one that's got to heal you. He's the healing. He's the fix for bipolar. He's it. He's the great physician. He's the one that's going to heal your body, heal your joints, put your thoughts back together. And suddenly this way begins to expand itself and grow and grow and grow. And it's like, I am the way to heaven, the way to live, and I'm the way to be healed. I'm the way to fix your life. I'm the only way you're going to stop eating all that chocolate late at night. I know nobody here does that, but we all pray for people who do. You know, I'm the way, and I'm the way, I'm the way. Listen to me. Didn't you ever grow up really poor where sometimes meals were skimpy or you missed any meals? Anybody here ever go through that? Okay, you did. All right, and I did too. And I have a tendency today, and I have to catch myself, because it leaves a weakness. It did in my life, and I've seen it in a lot of people who grew up with, didn't have much a lot of times. They have a weakness there to where later on in life they'll overeat, overcompensate, always concerned about if, you know, you buy two shirts instead of one because you ever do that? You may not have it. And there's in the back of your mind, there's that place from how what you didn't have as a kid. And when things were really bad, you don't ever want that to happen again. And so you end up with, you got all these shirts, you got all this stuff, you got so much more than you need, and don't even realize this is coming from a hole in your life. A place where things weren't there. I mean, if you ever had water gravy, I'm telling you, you don't want water gravy. You don't want mush. Anybody eat mush? Mush is cornbread and just cornmeal and water stirred together with what sugar you can put. That's a real treat, let me tell you. You got to try that once in life. We had that, and sometimes there's no milk. And so you had water gravy. Try water gravy, water and flour, and see how that comes out. And I'm not complaining, but those are the kinds of things that often happen and lots of other things. So now there's a tendency to overdo. And so I can't stop at buying one can of peas. I got to get four cans of peas. If you look in, you know, y'all been at the house, you look in that, that's why that's there. And it's hard for me to, it's not hoarding, it's that panic that, what if I don't have this? And I won't ever be like that in that shape again. And so if you've never been there, then you're not really identifying with this. But friends, that's just one thing. And look in our lives and say, why are you doing what you do? You know, why do you turn to this? Why do you turn to that when there's pressure on you? Why do you blow up? Why do you overeat? Why do you drink too much? And Jesus is saying, I'm the way to fix that as long as you keep turning to something else. It's like to me, as long as you keep worrying that you're not going to have enough, you're not going to trust me to provide. You're still trying to do it. You're trying to overcome something that happened to you, you know, and as you were growing up. Well, I can't help how I was raised. None of us can. You can't help how you were born, who you were born to. You can't help your environment. But you can sure help now that you know the way. He's the way out of this mess. Everybody with me? He's the way you're going to be healed. He's the way you're going to stop overeating. He's the way you're going to stop doing drugs. He's the way you're going to stop drinking all the alcohol. He's the way you're going to stop, you know, turning to porn, on the whatever, the cable television, whatever it is. He's the way. You're not going to break the habit. You're not going to overcome except Jesus the way. And so when he says, I'm the way, he's the way to a lot more than just to heaven. That's the primary. But from that, he's the way to live, and he's the way to be fixed so you can live happy. Everybody with me? He's the way for you to have some joy in your life for a change. And a lot of people need joy. Have you ever seen so many unhappy Christians in your life? Everywhere you go, you get around Christian people and say, how you doing?
Help.
Yeah. And no wonder we're that way, right? I get that way. I have to watch it in myself. It's like I can't watch the news hardly at all. And I read some great stuff but sometimes even in that I put it down for a little bit and it's like I can't read anymore. Do you ever ask these questions? I do. Is there any good going on? And let me tell you something. There is. It's just that we don't have a system anymore that wants to report that. But let me tell you what is happening. There are people still visiting other people, and there are people still giving things to other people. And there's still people, Christian people, God's people, doing good for other people, but it'll never be reported. But God is writing down every little thing. And you may not be rewarded for what you're doing on this earth, but you're going to be rewarded one day in heaven. And I've got just a real good feeling that you're going to get a lot of rewards while you're still here if you'll just recognize it's God blessing you. You can never outgive God. And so the things you don't hear about, but they're being done, there's gifts being given to people, there's visits being made, there's words of encouragement. Listen, if you can't do anything else, I'll tell you one thing you can do. Every person you meet, try to give them something encouraging because they're not hearing it anywhere else. That's the way, see? The way. That's the way to live, is to help other people have a better day and then a better life through knowing Christ. Do you? So it works. Give them hope. Wherever you can. I'm amazed how many people now, it used to not happen very much, but does now. You know, you're pumping gas on one side and they're on the other, and they lean around and start talking. People are lonely. Of course, it helps when you're leaning around yourself saying, hi. People don't expect that, do they? It's amazing what happens. Usually, about 80% of the time, they start talking to me. Once in a while, I'll get one and I'll say hi, and then you get kind of, And you try one more time. How's it going today? Okay. It's like, don't light a match. This whole thing will blow. Okay. But most of the time, I'll start talking, and they come around, and blah, 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 and I'm thinking, I'm not going to get anywhere on time today. You know, but that's what we're here to. We're the way. We're the way. We're the way. How else are they going to ever see Christ? How are they going to know happiness if we don't know happiness? How are they going to know joy if we don't know joy? Anyway, what a powerful thing is just one verse when Jesus said, I'm the way. Thomas, I'm the way to get to heaven, but I'm the way for you to live, boy. You know what he was saying to Thomas too? I'm the way for you to stop doubting. And finally, where did Thomas have his doubt put away? What did Jesus do as far as being the way to put the... Jesus died, he rose again, and the one that wouldn't believe was who? Thomas. So Jesus appeared and he said, come here, son. I know I'm paraphrasing, but it's a way I'd have said it. I wouldn't have said son. I'd say, come here, boy. You see this? You see this? Well, put your finger in it. That's what he told him. You know, we read this stuff and it's too sterile. That's what he was saying. You see, what's this you see, Thomas? Well, there's holes in my hand. You see his holes in my hand? Well, stick your finger in there. What's this? Where that spear went through. Well, put your hand in it. He wasn't trying to be gross. He was trying to say, I'm going to break you. I'm the way to stop your doubting because you're going to have to believe from now on, and that ends today. He's the way for your problem to end today if you put your faith in him. Well, let's move to the truth. Jesus is the living truth. He's the truth of God. God is all truth. He's the truth of the truth of God is the character of Jesus. So when you look at Jesus, you look at truth. You hear me? You look at Jesus, you look at God, you're looking at truth. I hear people say, just what is the truth? Even Herod asked that. What? Right? He asked that. The question was asked, what is truth? I'll tell you what truth is. Truth is Jesus Christ. There's people out here, saying, and I'm telling you, and I'm telling the truth. Listen, if you have to emphasize anything in your life with, and I'm telling the truth, then I doubt you. And you know, you hear these guys, and when they start a conversation, anytime, and guys, you know, we've all done it, but when a guy says, now, this is no bull. I'm telling you, you're saying, boy, there's bull. A whole truckload of bull just drove up. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Just get it out there and say it. But Jesus said, I'm the truth. And what he was saying was this. No matter how many books are written, no matter how many self-help books, and look at all the books written to explain Scripture. You can get any kind of book you want, and it's saying to you, here's what the Bible says. Let me tell you something. Some of those may be all right. They may help you a little, but the only book I recommend is that Bible right there. You get that and you read that word. And you don't ask somebody else for an explanation. You ask God to show you what it means and how it applies. I try very hard up here not to give any opinion, not to try to tell you something from a denominational perspective, but to say, here's the word. And here's how God has given me to help you to live it. If it says thou shalt not, it means thou shalt not. We don't need some theologians out there saying, well, but I'm sorry. If you want to excuse your little pitiful sin somewhere else, then you go do it alone. It says don't do this, so don't do that. And if it says do this, then do that. Everybody with me? Don't water it down. Don't go explaining it and trying to find some excuse. And you know, and then people say, and I've had this how many times and mentioned this before. Well, I just can't see a loving God doing this to somebody or you know, sending them to hell. And it's like, you ever read the Old Testament? Did you ever read through the Psalms? You see God there working with people. And what did he do to the enemies of Israel? They didn't fare so well. And even within Israel, like when they rebelled with the golden calf and they were, and God's leading them out of Egypt, a bunch of those didn't fare so well. And then people say, that's the Old Testament God. Okay. What do we have in the New Testament? We have a God who shows his love in Jesus Christ, but he's the same God. It's just that through Jesus Christ, he took our punishment on himself. But don't forget that also talks about chastisement, and it says he chastises those he loves. And so it's like, don't think you can push your sins very far, because he's the truth and he speaks the truth. And friends, that's what he asks of us. Is there any of us in here that really speaks the truth? I mean, I know you do. We do a lot. But not all the time, do we? How many times have we fudged it to keep from hurting somebody's feelings? I mentioned this before. If you've been married very long, you've fudged it. Have you not? You've not exactly told the truth. Maybe you didn't just all out lie. You just kind of distorted the facts. Because you knew if you said it straight, it would be an all out upset. And how many times the church members, our brothers and sisters in Christ, have we avoided things? Not exactly said it straight to keep from hurting them. And Jesus never did that. But he had a way of doing it that just, I just wish I could do it like he did it all the time. Don't you? He spoke the truth, but he didn't do it where it hurt everybody. And I just, that's what we're supposed to be mastering, don't you see? We've got to learn how to talk to people and be the truth, live the truth, but speak the truth in a way that Jesus did, and only the real hypocrites, the Pharisees, would be offended at it. Everybody else loved it. How do you speak the truth that actually is pointing out the sins of people and they love you for it? And that's where we're supposed to be. I've struggled with this, and it's like, That's where Jesus wants us. When you look at Jesus, when you look at Jesus, what do we most often picture? The pictures of Jesus, you say, I want to look at Jesus. What do you see? You'll see a picture of a guy in a robe, right? Of course, a white robe and the sandals. And he's usually got long hair. That's Jesus. But what's the real picture of Jesus? Love. Compassion. Forgiveness. We get so caught up in the outward. And I've been to churches where it was so caught up in the outward. And there's churches today. I've had people tell me and ask me, do you go to church dressed like that? Yes. You're being sacrilegious. You're not honoring God. You need to dress up to honor Him. And so I dress up my body and dishonor Him in my heart. Pharisees dressed to the nines, didn't they? I mean, they were immaculate in their robes. Flowing robes. Praying on the street corners. Yet their hearts were wicked. And believe me, I'm not making this up. I've had people ask me, you know, you really do go to church like that? Yeah, I wear jeans. I wear hiking boots. This is it. Henley shirt. That's just me. And you don't dress up. You're supposed to honor the Lord. Yeah, right. That honors God to dress up in front of Him while my heart's on all kinds of evil things. And I believe God would rather see me in a pair of jeans and a Henley shirt with a clean heart than the other way around. Don't you? I don't think Jesus' robe was white most of the time. How could it be in that dusty land? I didn't see any washing machines. I hadn't read about them in the New Testament. So they didn't get to clean very often. I don't think they even had deodorant, did they? You think about it. And we look at all the external, but when you look at Jesus, what does God want you to see? He wants you to see His love coming out of Him. Because He wants it in us. He wants us to see compassion and forgiveness and openness. Openness. When we say openness, Jesus was that openness and tolerance are two different things. To be open means I see you and I see your struggles. I hear your pain. I feel your pain. I rejoice with those that rejoice and I weep with those that weep. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to tolerate the sin that's there. Everybody with me? The truth of God's word says, I can be open to you, I accept you as a person, but we're going to let God's word deal with your sins. That's where we have to be if we're going to walk in truth. I love you, I appreciate you, but God's word says no to what you're saying and doing, so we're going to have to deal with that. And not judge you for it. That's what we're all about. I come here, when I study this word, I'm convicted all the time. You know, Tony, you got to get up and preach on something you're not very good at yourself. You still got to preach it, but you're going to have to work on it yourself. When I look at Jesus, I see the strength to overcome. Some of you need to overcome some things in your life right now, and the truth of Jesus Christ will help you overcome it. By the way, would you quit feeding your habits? If you have a lust problem, quit watching shows on TV that create more of a problem. If you have a drinking problem, would you stop hanging around people that are drinking? Really? I mean, you know, if you have a drug problem of some kind, why are you going out and being with people and you know are going to tempt you with it? Why are you doing that to yourself? Are you honoring Christ through it? And this is not to make anybody feel bad. It's to say the truth of Jesus says that's not the way to go. He is the great physician. He is the strength to overcome, not this other stuff. When I look at Jesus, I see healing and I see understanding and I see something else. You ready for this? This is the truth. You see the strength to take a stand. Friends, listen. There's so many people today that won't take a stand. There are guys preaching this morning that will not take a stand on anything controversial. Well, if you don't stand for something, you stand for nothing. You can't be neutral in this life. You got to, you know, if you don't stand, then you're not. Be known for standing up for Christ, in Christ, and through Christ. I know this is a challenging message, but that's the way, the truth, and the life. We've got to stand for something. We've got to stand for what is the something? We've got to stand in Jesus Christ and for the Lord our God. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's John 10:10. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Receive that life. And that's the next and closing step right here, passage. Jesus said, I am the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. John 11. He who believes in me, Jesus, though he may die, he shall live. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You say, okay, the life. What are we talking about here? Not just a get-by, hope we make it kind of life, but real life. A life full of warmth and affection. A life led and guided by the Holy Spirit. Bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, generosity, patience and perseverance. Long-suffering. Is that life. So many people just here to get by. Well, my goodness, why don't you go and have life and have it in abundance? Ask God for it. This is not just to get by. I hope I make it. I had a guy to tell me the other day, and I really love the guy. I mean, I care for him. He's older than I am, and we talk scripture a lot. But he made the comment. He said, Tony, I know my time's coming soon, and I hope I make it. And it's like, what? Said, I hope I make it. You hope you make it. And I thought, we've been talking about Jesus Christ for a long time, years. And you tell me, you hope you, I couldn't believe it. He said, but if you fall from grace, oh my God. Seriously? Jesus came and died on the cross so that you could live a real shaky life and never know if you're going to heaven or not. He said, you know, I don't know. I hope I've confessed everything. And it's like, for crying out loud, nobody's able to confess everything. That's why the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin, even things I don't even know about. And it says I'm sealed in the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. I might fall, but not from God's grace. I can't live that way. I can't do it, friends. I could not get up here and bring these and be God's instrument to bring these messages if I thought at any moment I'm going to fall from His grace. I'm going to say something dumb. I try hard not to say anything dumb. But occasionally, I don't know what it is. There are sometimes, or some Sunday mornings, they're rare, but I just wake up with dumb happening. Do you ever do that? You know, I mean, just dumb. I go looking for, you know, I used to laugh at people for doing this, and now I'm doing it. It's just those dumb Sunday mornings. It's really Sunday morning. Walking all through the house. Where's my glasses? Where's my glasses? And then you got them in your hand. I know I shouldn't say that. Y'all quit coming. Have any of you been doing this kind of stuff? You know, I finally brought them up and you know, just something happens. But even with all that, you know, even with the dumbs and the goofiness and the silly thing, you're not going to fall. It says if you were to, I know that passage. If you were, there's no coming back. But that's an if. If you can't. If I'm sealed in the Holy Spirit to the day of redemption, then I'm there. My name's written in His life. And Jesus said, nobody can pluck you out of my hand. Nobody. If nobody, that means me too. But it hurt me to hear someone who really tries to live a good life, a lot of ways better than I can live, and yet be doubting. Hope I make it. Friends, I'm following Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, because I will make it. Why? Because He's already made it for me. And I put my faith in Him. And he rose from the dead, and I will too. And so will you. Don't just hope you get by and hope you make it. You're going to make it. But in the meantime, why are you... Sometimes Christians can get so heavenly minded, they're not worth a flip right here. What about living a happy, joyful, abundant life on this earth? A life that means something to God and to other people. A life that really does change people, transform people. God wants you to live a life that's transformed through your faith in Christ. And through my transformation, it touches you. If nothing else, go around giving people hope. Give them courage. Be bold. Just be bold. I'm trying to keep my voice low. There's a little one back there. I don't want to scare it to death. who was it? Yeah, I think your little grandson talked one day. I got real loud, and I saw him put his hands up there. Wanted me to stop yelling at him. Bless his little heart. And I try to be calmer, but I just get excited. And I know you see it. I really believe this stuff. And I want you to believe it. I mean, to the max. I want you to lead a life that's really guided and led by the Holy Spirit. Let me share this. I got to wrap this up. Just remember one thing. Wherever you go, in this way, truth and life, and being the life, remember this, we're called to be a friend to people, whether they ever are a friend to us. Some of my hurts in life have come from expecting a reciprocation of friendship. You be a friend, and remember that the friendship you count on is from Jesus Christ, your friend. You be a friend, and it doesn't matter whether they ever respond or not, you let them see what true friendship is. Them, they, wherever you are, it doesn't matter. No, Jesus is your friend. He said, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. You keep that in mind. Because I heard of many a person in what I do and counseling people outside of them, and they say, Tony, I just don't have any friends. It's like you've got the greatest friend there will ever be, who will never leave you, forsake you. He will not break any word that you share. He won't tell any tales. He'll not gossip. He won't break your heart. He won't stab you in the back. His name's Jesus Christ. You hang on to him, and you let him use you to be a friend, just like he's your friend, and don't look for anything in return, and you will have the greatest friendship you've ever known. Really true. And I found that when you don't expect people to be your friend, but you're a friend to them, you make friends. You let them off the hook. You people know when there's expectations put on them. But man, what a great thing. Isn't it great to know somebody's your friend and they expect nothing of you? Jesus Christ is our friend. When we give nothing back, he's still our friend. And he's the way, and he's the truth, and he's the life, and he's come to give it to us in abundance. And with hurting shoulders, messed up hips, or whatever it is you're struggling with, don't you dare let the devil use that to back you off of the way, the truth, and the life. You keep punching hard until the bell sounds in the last round and Jesus calls you home. And until then, stay in the ring and keep after it. The way, the truth, and the life. It's like we're going to battle. We are. We're in a war. Win it. Win it. I was reading a true battle, an action in the fleets and Napoleonic Wars. And this British ship, and actually when the Americans came into the war, the Americans came in on the side of Bonaparte, the French. These two ships came together. They ran right at each other. The captain standing up there on the deck, right there, it's like, And those ships ran straight at each other, turned broadside to broadside, and said they were less than 50 yards apart, and they opened up hammering each other with cannons. Can you imagine? And neither one would back off till they blew each other all to pieces. I mean, both ships were just torn to pieces. I thought, whew. You say, well, what kind of a thing is that to close a message with? This. When you come out here into life, you walk out of this place today, you face the enemy, he's going to come at you with full broadsides, and you just swing around and you hit him head on, and it doesn't make any difference. You keep firing till God calls you home or you sail away in victory. That's what it's about. It was inspiring to me. It really was. It's like, you know, yeah, that's, it was awful, but at the same time, it's like, that's what we do. And by the way, the end result was, the I hated it, but that's the way it happened then. The American ship struck her colors. She lowered her flag, and she surrendered. She didn't have one cannon left that could fire. And even though the British ship was beat up bad, it took it as a prize and carried it away to England. And that, you see, that's what I wanted to wrap this up with and say this. You're going to get hit. You're going to get beat up. Yes, you will. But you keep firing, and you're going to sail away in victory. The way, the truth, and the life. The battle belongs to the Lord's. The Lord. Amen? All right, let's get over here, and I want you to share the Lord's Supper with us. Didn't make any difference where you're from, where you go to church, as long as you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, thank you. You take this Lord's Supper with us, part of our family.